Okay, welcome to the Lindroth Hockey Podcast. Andrew will be joining me shortly, hopefully. He's still on the road with his band through it all. But we have exclusive here interview with Kevin Tansey, all the way from Sheffield, England, with the Sheffield Steelers, where they just won a night or two ago the Challenge Cup of the Elite EIHL. Kevin, thanks for joining us again, man.
Thanks. Always a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, so did you recover from the partying the other night?
we went pretty hard that night. Being out on the balcony and having some champagne and beers on the ice, that was a really cool experience. Then we went out to a bar to celebrate afterwards, and it was a big night for sure. But we still have business left to do, so left it at one night.
So you follow us on social media, as we do you. So you probably have seen our Twitter kind of blowing up in anticipation of this interview here. So hopefully I do my best of asking the questions that some fans might want to know. So I'm going to start with Sheffield's been strong, not to jinx anything, but Sheffield has been strong all season long. Take us through the preparation here for the Challenge Cup. You guys overwhelmingly beat everybody to get to the final. But what was going on in the locker room, the coaching staff, the players in preparation of this Challenge Cup final?
Yeah, I mean, we basically just treat it like every other game. In this league, the mentality is that every game is a playoff game because of the way it's structured and the way the league is played out. That big trophy is winning the season. So, it was kind of business as usual for us. We came in the morning, did our video session with optional ice for morning skate, which is what we always do. If you don't go on the ice, you get a sweat. So guys, did whatever they usually do. And then, I think the only difference would be that guys got in a little bit earlier, maybe before the game. I was there for 3 hours before the game, just wanted to beat traffic, wanted to get in the right mindset. In terms of actual preparation, we did probably a little bit more video than we would normally do for a game, but otherwise it was status quo.
Talk a little bit about the hometown fans and their impact on the game.
It was crazy. It was insane in that building. I obviously playing with Dowdy and Shudes and guys who have been there for a while. Even they were saying they've never heard that building that loud. And, Rob's been there for 15 years or so. To hear him say something like that really shows how much it meant to the building, how much it meant to the town and the people. It was crazy. Like when we announced the players at the beginning, it was wild, and Dowdy always gets a little bit louder than everybody, being the captain and the golden child. And when he got announced coming onto the ice, it was deafening for about 10 seconds. And then when we scored the first goal early in the game, I thought the roof was going to blow off the stadium.
Talk a little bit about, too, the goalie's mindset, Greenfield. What was he like in his preparation? What is he like in general? We got to get him on the pod one day, but what is he like in general? What was he like for the game? Because the goalies have got their special way to get into the game.
Yeah, in terms of goalies, he's pretty much as normal as anyone I've ever seen. So he prepares himself like a pro every game. And he was ready for the game, ready for the big opportunity. He's been a rock for us all year long. I think he just prepared like he always does. I don't know exactly what his preparation is because I'm doing my own stuff as he's going for it, but whenever he's in nets, we know that we're going to get, the best the league has to offer.
In between periods, what was the coach saying? What was Foxy saying to you guys? Getting you guys calmed down, excited, a mixture of both, keeping you focused, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's just, telling us to keep focus, no matter the size of the game. He just wanted to make sure that we stay on the path that we've been staying, defense first. We swarm teams. We play best when we're all doing our own jobs. And he just kept reinforcing that. And then kind of at the end, just telling us that trophies that you win with a team and teammates and players or stuff that you'll remember forever. And he just kind of said, like, oh, we're 60 minutes away from that feeling. We're 40 minutes away. We're 20 minutes away. And it got more and more real as the periods went on.
So Andrew and I have been following Sheffield for at least 3 years pretty closely. And I know that the coach has taken kind of a lot of brunt of, they felt they should have won last year. They had a good team last year, even the year before. But now all of a sudden, sort of the monkey, at least with the Challenge Cup, is off their back or off of his back. What was a coach kind of like? And I know he's different with you players, but he seemed more happy than I've ever seen him in 3 years, at least at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was a big a big thing off his back to get that first cup in a few years. So he's been behind us all season long. He's the best coach I've ever played for in terms of a guy who's really there for his players. So really appreciate that from him. And he really just wanted us to win it for us. He kept just reinforcing that. Like I said before, that you win a trophy with a group of guys, you'll remember them forever. You kind of like become friends forever. And that's what it is in our locker room. So for him to get that trophy is, it meant just as much to him and the whole staff as it did to everyone in that locker room.
Andrew, you joined us. So, Andrew, welcome. Andrew, where the heck are you right now?
I'm still in Jacksonville today. I got a show at the Walrus, so I'm here still in Jacksonville. Kevin, thanks for having me hop on a little late, bro. Congrats on
Yeah.
everything, by the way.
Thanks,
Hopefully
man.
everything's been going well. So I guess I'll just kind of hop in the middle of this real quick, but I really want to talk about the depth of the team too, because I mean Sheffield's always had a really, really good constructed team, but especially with the forwards too. I know that you're playing defense, but talk a little bit about that offensive pop that the team's had, because man, I mean, the goals against on every other team has been pretty big differential this year too. What have you noticed? Because I mean, you're playing in a different league last year, and then you're coming over here dominating with Sheffield.
Yeah, I mean, we are as deep as any team I've ever been on, really. I've said this a ton of times. We don't really have a first and a fourth line. It's just we go 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, and it's, if one line isn't going one night, it's like okay, because we don't just rely on one or two guys to get points. We obviously have our big point getters, who have been pretty consistent throughout the year, but even in nights where they're not going, like a night like last night, like we had, Brian Difley scores the first goal in the game kind of thing. And, I think he's only had two or three goals all season. So it's really like guys just step up whenever anyone is going like down a little bit. Like other guys just step up and fill the shoes that need to be filled, and different lines are hot at different times, and it's just been consistent all year long.
Andrew, you want to ask another one?
Yeah, sorry, I was waiting for these people to walk by. So, Kevin, I'm not gonna lie, man, kind of crazy this year. You're beating up people left and right, sticking up for the teammates. What's the difference this season? Because I think I don't remember the exact league you played in last year, but I don't even think fighting was allowed in that league. I could be wrong, but yeah, dude, you turned it all around, man. So, what was the inspiration behind that?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been allowed in any of the leagues I've been in over here, I don't think. Maybe the Czech League. I think it was allowed, but I was only there for a short period of time. But yeah, I mean, it was always a part of my game in North America. I think I have like six or seven fights this year or something like that. And I just the way that I play and the size that I am is just something that, I don't shy away from. I've been in probably 25 or 30 career fights at this point now, and it's just something that's was a part of my game in North America, and now that's allowed here, that it adds an extra layer of just kind of intimidation, and sort of if you do something, you're gonna have to pay the price for it. Whereas in past leagues, you couldn't really do it; you just have to line them up and try to hit them. But it just makes guys a little bit more aware, I think, out there. And it's really a team that I want to fight for. And everybody on this team is my friend. And when someone gets hit in a bad way, I do take it personally. So it's something that I don't shy away from. I find it's almost come to be expected of me, which is fine because It's part of my job, but I think I'm also smart in doing it. I've fought that many times, but I've also turned down a good amount of fights because of, the situation in the game. It's definitely something that can bring momentum shifts, and when it's done at the right time, it can be a very good tool.
Quick
So do you
side.
think,
although real quick, Dad, when you're playing the leagues before, does that like affect your playing at all? I mean, obviously, sorry, if you're not fighting, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make your game any worse or any better, but does that allow you to be able to do more knowing that you could play maybe extra harder without an extra penalty? Because we've heard just from some other guys that played some of the other European leagues, if you check them too hard, I mean, sometimes it could just be a roughing penalty or something. So does that like allow you to open up and play more? I mean, obviously that North American style that you have then, I'm sure it's more comfortable this year for sure.
I mean, it's definitely a more physical league than I've been in the past, over on the side of the ocean. So in that sense, but it also kind of brings you into a little bit more of a thought process when you go into that, because I mean, in the reality of it, no one really wins a fight. Either your hands hurt or your face hurt. So sometimes it's both. So whenever you go into one, I never go into one afraid. But the reality is sometimes after those fights, it hurts a lot. So you just kind of got to be mindful of those nights. Got into one with a player on Dundee last game, or not last game, but a few games ago. Wasn't my best fight. Definitely left sore from that one. So after those kinds of games, it's tough to go back into battle after that because your body's sore. But you know that you stuck up for your teammate. That guys are gonna have to think twice about, hitting a guy dirty, or getting an elbow up or something. So that's sort of the reason why I do it. The reason why I stand behind it is because it's sometimes just a 2-minute penalty isn't enough for of a price to pay.
So, side note, I believe last year around this time, and you've been gracious with your time with us. I think this is the fourth time we've had you on, but last year around this time, you had just won like the Danish equivalent to the Challenge Cup. And I remember you partying and celebrating there. Has anybody in Sheffield kind of says, hey, maybe Tansy is the good luck charm here that we need? Does anybody mention that?
I don't think anyone's called me a good luck charm in that sense, but I definitely think that this is a town that appreciates the way that I play. I think that it's been resonated that I bring a good amount of defense and offense to the team and some toughness. And I think the Steelers fans are happy that I'm here.
Talk a little bit about your D partner, and we'll talk a little and all the defensemen, but talk a little bit about your partner, what was going on during the game, how you've been playing.
Yeah, Corms is he's a young guy, but he plays beyond his years. He's so talented with the puck. He's very a very very good skater too, so that helps. Whenever we're out there together, we play well together. Whenever we started playing together, when he first got to the team, he was there for one practice, and we played 5-on-5 shifts, and just a regular practice. And whenever you get a new D partner, that I had met him that day and I wasn't really sure. And then when I got out on the ice with him, Foxy actually came up to me and was like, yeah, we're considering like having him practice a couple more times before we get him into a game. And then we practiced together and our chemistry was like, it was just kind of immediate. On the ice, we really vibe well together. We respect when the other guy's going into the rush. He brings a little bit more of a skilled game, whereas I bring a little bit more of a shutdown physical game. So I think we really complement each other well. And to add on to that, he's a really good friend off the ice now too. And him and his partner, or my partner and his partner, really get along great too. So everything about the whole relationship with him is just really awesome.
Yeah, two quick questions for me, and then Andrew, I'll let you ask, and then we'll let Kevin go here. He's got a lot of stuff to do. Kev, talk a little about not just your popularity. We noticed that you're very popular on the team, but also Sossaman, and I think it's the red beards, right? Is that what's going on? So what's the deal with us in North America about that? And of course Sossaman, who's is beloved over there as well.
Yeah, I mean, fear the beard, right? It's a bit of a real thing. I grow my beard out most years. Actually, the times I've grown my beard out the most are seasons I've played with Sauce, just because it's like we're like the beard brothers kind of thing. It's just funny that I always grow my beard out a good amount, but I've never really had it this. I may have had it this long once before when I was in Slovakia in Brno, but to be honest with you, I use it for protection. Like it's so thick that I think this beard has probably saved me from probably close to 25 stitches of getting pucks to the face or sticks to the face. It's like my it's really coarse and thick. So, and then it also adds another layer if I get punched on the face or stuff like that. So that's pretty much the primary reason. As soon as the season's over, I cut my beard pretty much right away and just go to like a normal beard size. But yeah, I don't know. It adds a little flavor to it for sure.
We talked a little bit about the captain, but talk to us a little bit about, if you can, what he was talking about in the locker room. He certainly wanted this. It's a long time coming for him. So what was Dowd like that game?
You know, he was our leader as always. He's you know, he's so respected in that locker room. He's just a great guy on and off the ice, like a pillar in the community. I don't know anybody who dislikes Robert Dowd. And if they did, it would probably be a them problem kind of thing. So, you know, just the way that he holds himself is A1. You know, he's someone that you really want to follow when you're on the ice with him. And he's also the first guy to, if you know things aren't going too well on the ice, he'll, you know, back check really hard, steal the puck from a guy, throw a body check. Like he's, you know, the epitome of a leader. So it's really awesome to be able to play with him.
So, Kevin, for me, the last thing I just want to ask, well, obviously with our North American fans, they're not always familiar with the EIHL or remember the how the Challenge Cups go and all the other championships, but you do still have 10 games left, I believe, in the season, and then you have playoffs too. But now that you've won this cup right now, and then now you're going into yet again another playoffs, how do you prepare for that? That's obviously different from just going straight from the season into a playoffs and win one cup. Kind of give us what the mindset's going to be in the locker room, how you guys are prepping for this last run of the season.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit weird just going from, you know, winning a trophy and partying for a night. But we knew that this was the case and we've kind of prepared for it. We sort of told ourselves, all right, we'll let loose for one night, but then come tomorrow night, it's business as usual. It'll be the same thing. Like we won it, we're banking it. We can party on after the season again, but we still have business left to take care of. We came into the season wanting to win all three. I think every team did, and we've set ourselves up to, you know, we have two more that have a possibility of winning, and we've set ourselves up for it in a very good way. And we just, you know, we're keeping our eye on the prize, and we're still a very hungry bunch.
Kev, my last thing here is talk a little bit, because we know Sheffield fans are going to be listening to this interview. Message to the Sheffield fans from the other night and going into the playoffs, what would that be?
You know, we just keep bringing that energy that they brought. The rink was insane. The balcony party was insane. Everything about it was great. You know, having the town behind us means so much. It's so fun to play for a passionate fan group, and we're gonna keep doing our best to keep on bringing home some hardware.
Kev, thank you so much. Hang on one sec. We'll say goodbye off air, but officially, we can't thank you enough. And again, congratulations on that and best of luck through the playoffs.
Yes,
Thank
good
you
luck,
very much.
Mitch.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, man.